Hello?
How are you, Dave?
Fine.
Good. Look, I just want to take a minute of your time. I want you to know we're going to have the biggest Labor Day rally we've ever had up here for you on Monday.
Wonderful.
And things are going along fine. On the primary we had here, we took care of your friend John Lisinski.
I saw that.
Yeah, we're going to give you the best Democratic delegation that Michigan's ever sent to Congress. Got some bright young fellows who will be with you all the way.
Well, you know, you all know how to make it easy to do that.
How's that?
Get about 25 people to call all your newspapers, and you call three or four of your friends, and you call the radio stations, and demand an apology from Goldwater for saying that the Army's made up of misfits, and anybody that wants to be commander-in-chief, and we'll tell the Germans and the Italians and the French and the Russians that we've got nothing but misfits in our army, and that all we're just a nation of misfits, ought to apologize publicly.
I'll get
he can't get away from that one if it gets hung on to him.
Right.
He opened his big mouth, and every mama, and remember there are 3 million of them in there, and everybody has been going in or been going out or afraid he's going in or afraid he's going out, and none of them think they're misfits. And when you say that when he tells the Phoenix Gazette yesterday he's a misfit, and Mr. Oscar Glutz, when you just pick to hang up the phone with me and you just tell the editor of the Detroit Free Press that I'm Oscar Glutz and I damn sure resent it, and why don't you say something about it, and you tell a television station that you are Oscar Glutz, that this man says it's a nation of misfits, and you've had 3 brothers serve in the Army, and you've had one that's in there now, and I got you resent anybody that wants to be commander-in-chief saying that they're misfits, and it's an insult to 3 million men, and I wonder if those guys out in Vietnam and those boys in Korea and those over on the Berlin Wall, if he thinks they're misfits. That's the way these damn generals talk anyway. That goes to the head. Fella got 2 stars on his shoulder and gets himself in a jet airplane and immediately says everybody else is a misfit. Now, I'll tell you, I'm an old campaigner, and Franklin Roosevelt and I, when he said Martin, Martin, and Fish, and you just say misfits, this fella, and everybody will come in with a sign saying misfit.
That's right. You're right.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Pardon me, but
let me just say this. I can't say anything to you since your speech. You did a tremendous job.
Thank you.
Really climaxed that convention.
Well, thank you.
It was a great convention, despite the little problems.
Well, they worked out.
You get the feeling of tremendous enthusiasm.
Yeah, it couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
But you don't know what it could have been. It could have been the greatest debacle the Democratic Party ever had.
Well,
before you went out there, if they'd have had the Freedom Party seated and running all those white folks out, it'd have put us back to the Emancipation Proclamation 100 years ago.
Exactly, I agree. Well, that's why I dropped everything and went down there, because we couldn't let that happen.
Maybe then.
We couldn't push out the legal delegates and seat a group that really had no right to be seated, because we would have been ruined on both ends of the problem. We'd lost the South, and the North would have said, what the hell, the Freedom Riders have captured the Democratic Party.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad I went down there, because I felt it completely as you did.
I got your friend off here today in Minneapolis to send him off to homecoming.
You know, he's going to join a union. You're really going to work him hard, and I'm all for that.
Another thing, did you see this Miller going after him today on AD? It's the most vicious thing I ever heard.
He's going to get no place. That fellow Miller is going to, he's going to make everybody in this country know that he can't rise 1 inch above the gutter.
Well, now, while you're doing it, you ought to do it to auto workers, but you ought to do it with some Polish boy. They ought to send him a wire, and he ought to give it out and say, shame on you, get out of the slime and the mud. He ought to have 2 or 3 wires. Shame on him. Shame on him. Shame on you. Get out of it. They ought to call on Charlie Taft to reactivate his clean elections group, his decent elections. Now, you're a good moralist. Why in the hell don't you do that? They're going to talk about morality and morals, and why don't you call on Charlie Taft to set up a decent election? Just say the people can't have all this mudslinging. They want to talk bread and butter issues. They want to talk about peace and war. They want to talk about nuclear holocaust. They don't want this slime.
I sent Charlie Taft a check for $3,000 last week for his committee.
All right, well, just...
I'm going to tell him I want my money's worth.
Just get him to call on all the candidates to be decent and stay out of personalities.
Very good. I'll work on that. I'll get a hold of Charlie. Yeah. Now, on your speech up here, I've talked to Willard Wirtz. I just assumed that he'd be working with your fellows down there. And I know that you'll talk about peace and survival, and then the bread and butter issues, jobs and automation and the poverty fight, Social Security. On the Medicare thing, that's going to be cooking down there. And I was wondering if you think it might not be a good strategy, not in your prepared text, but when you say to the people there, I'm for Medicare and you're for Medicare and the people of this country for Medicare and the Congress is going to be discussing it now, couldn't you just go to offhandedly in a very kind of informal way say, why don't you let your people, let the congressmen know in terms of letters and telegrams, they're going to be wanting to hear from you back home. And this will be on national television and radio, and I think we'll flood that damn hill over there with some letters and telegrams.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought. I may be wrong about it, but they've been giving me hell here 2 or 3 days about what kind of political speech, whether it's going to be, what kind of speech is going to be, and so forth. And I thought I'd fool them just a little bit. I thought that I would never mention politics. I wouldn't mention parties. I'd make a pretty high-level speech about trying to hold our people together and unite them, and not preach hate, not preach division. I'd put a little little spiritual stuff in it to try to talk to them a little bit on the brotherhood of man and good Americans. And by contrast, I've already sent the speech out to 2 or 3 columnists to show how Miller gets into cheap politics, personalities, makes every promise in the world, and tries to buy labor. And Johnson comes along here and doesn't get into a bunch of promises and commitments and soft soaping, because first of all, I think that everything that they were interested in Detroit, I'm for, and I don't need to convert a damn one of them, and I'm not going to convert somebody in Kansas by what if I say. So I thought I'd have a contrast with Goldwater's speech and harangue and hate in Arizona, and this boy is VDA and coming along and preaching the brotherhood of man. Not the brotherhood of man. Not the brotherhood of man. Not the brotherhood of man.